here and there to somehow make it through another day. So many pressures, but I try. Help me on this journey, for I am weak and yearning, for only you can provide the strength that I need, the will to succeed. I'm asking for you to take hold of me. I'll just keep holding your hand till I make it. No need to think that I could even last or take it. But I will trust in you, dear Lord. That's where I'll stay. I'll keep holding your hand all the way.
Are you leaning on him? You must lean on the Lord.
If you're not
thank you. Welcome. Welcome to this broadcast. What a broadcast indeed it is going to be. It's always my joy when I bring you these broadcasts, because I know we're going to stay right in the Bible and we're going to discover some wonderful truth that's going to be a blessing to our life. We're going to discover something today I believe that you're going to enjoy. I really believe that you're going to enjoy them. Let me get you down here. Maybe a little bit too high there. Trying to moderate the level of my voice better. And you let me know if I'm not perfect, okay? If it needs to be a little louder or a little lower, all I got to do is get a right call from somebody and I'll do my best. Hey, we're here for the glory of the Lord. Do you understand that? We're here for the glory of the Lord. We're not here to build up men. We're not here to build up institutions. We're not here to build up this church, Paul Creek Ministries. We're here to build up the kingdom. And we're here to help you go to the Word and learn. And today, we've got a subject that is overwhelming to me. Seven. Ever thought about the number seven in the Bible, 7 days of the week, the seven seal book in the Father's hand, and just multiple times, over 700, by the way, the number seven, it is God's numerical perfection. It is God's numerical perfection. And if you learn to respect this number seven, it will just help you grow in your knowledge of this Bible. Now, it ends up in 7 years of the great celebration of the marriage supper. And that's how the idea got a hold of me, to really study the whole idea of the numerical number of seven. Was it had to do with the 7 years of the great celebration of the marriage supper. 7 years of the great celebration of the marriage supper. Did you know the Bible begins with God creating this universe, this earth? 7 days, 6 days he labored, and on the seventh day he rested, and then he set in concrete that you and I are to live a 7 day week, 6 days to make a living and to do the things necessary to life, and 1 day to give it to God and to reflect on the things that you did or that you accomplished in the early 6 days of that week. It's a beautiful principle. And let me tell you something. This really had never dawned on me. But every culture in the world, pagan, godless, it don't matter who they are and what they represent and what they believe, everybody in the world knows that a 7 day week is a week and is a complete week. And nobody has a 6 day week and nobody has a 8 day week. It's all a 7 day week. Now, some worship on Friday. That's the Arabs, the religion of Allah. And then some worship on Saturday. That's the Jewish faith, wonderful faith, the background of our faith. And then the Christian church, where Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week. The Holy Spirit came on the first day of the week. And so we celebrate on Sunday, the first day of the week. the first day of the week, actually. But we celebrate on Sunday. That's our seventh day. That's our seventh day. And I want to tell you, I don't make a fuss out of the Jewish 6 day or the 5 day or the fifth day, I should say, or the seventh day. I don't fuss about that. I just worship God on the Lord's Day, the day He arose from the dead. Got a wonderful booklet on that, by the way, that shows this eighth day is indeed the New Testament Sabbath day, the New Testament day of worship and praise. Now, we're going to go into many wonderful things in this Bible today, and I hope I can get you involved with me. Let me tell you something. I believe that this broadcast must be you and I together. You're my guest anywhere in the world, any continent on the earth. You're my guest, and I'm delighted to have you. You may not believe everything I believe. I want you to listen anyway. I have a lot of people who listen and who disagree with me. I'm glad they listen. I believe sometime down the road, the Lord will help me to convince them of some great truth of this Bible that they may not understand right yet. Are you saying you believe you have it right? I do. If I did not get it right, and then believe I had it right. But I believe I have it right because I just believe the simple, infallible Bible. And I just take it word for word, verse for verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, and I believe the whole Bible. I believe it's pure from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Now, let me tell you, if there's anything on the world scene, that proves the book of Genesis, it is that every culture and every nation and every religion has a seventh day or seven-day week. Hey, that was instilled in man's soul when God made him. Do you understand? And so we all have this cycle of 7 days, and we all need one of those days to rest. And there's not many people who are very wise that don't take one of those days and rest and give it to God and give it to the cause of worship and praise. Well, it's a great study. Let me read to you in Genesis 2 and 1. Then the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So very clearly, God intends for man to rest on the seventh day. I know some were called to try to argue about which day is the seventh, and I'm not going to entertain a lot of that, okay? Because I'm willing to let you worship on Saturday, but I worship on Sunday because I know the New Testament, you know, I know it good enough to know that they met and worshiped on the first day of the week, on our Sunday. And it's a day of wonderful worship and praise in my life. Amen? And I'm proud of it. Now, let me take you over to the book of Revelation and show you that this book of Revelation is indeed an incredible book about the seventh day. And I'll begin here in Revelation 1, very beautiful, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Write the things which thou hast seen, the Lord says to John, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in thy right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, Notice that. The seven golden candle, or the seven angels, or stars, are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So the book of Revelation is a picture of seven churches, and of course a seven sealed book, and then seven seals, and then seven trumpets, and then seven vials. And you just got this beautiful picture in the Bible over, listen, notice this, 700 times. Seven, and some derivative of seven, is in this Bible. Seven. or some derivative of seven. I've got a list of all of those, by the way, and I'll send you a copy if you desire them. And I'm going to give you this booklet today, which I want you to get into and study. My people, we studied this Wednesday night, and boy, did my people get excited. One of my men brought me today, he'd been in the book of Revelation, and found that the Word of God is in the book of Revelation seven times. He found that let him hear what the Spirit saith is in the book of Revelation seven times. The book of life is written in the book of Revelation seven times. The name Jesus in the book of Revelation seven times. The name repent in the book of Revelation seven times. The word names, the book of Revelation seven times. The word world seven times. The word prophecy seven times. The word blessed seven times. The word worthy seven times. The word horses seven times. The word people. And he said, Brother Chambers, I'm not even through. Well, I've not been through all of that. You may want to go and get behind it and look at that. That's wonderful. But the Bible is built around the number seven. You remember the candlestick, the candelabra of the Jewish faith, seven stands. You remember marching when Joshua marched into Jericho and took the city. They marched 7 days. On the seventh day, seven times. And when the seventh time came around, they had seven priests with seven ram's horns, and they blew those ram's horns, and the city walls fell flat, except for the apartment of Rahab, who had made a covenant with God and had a scarlet cord hanging out her window. Scarlet cord. Why scarlet? It represents the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's why. Now, I could take you through the Bible. When Naaman came to the servant of God, Elijah, and wanted a miracle, he said, go wash in the river of Jordan seven times. Remember the great vision that Joseph interpreted of the Pharaoh? It was seven bountiful years and then seven lean years. Just keep on going through the Bible. And it's over and over and over. And I want you to help me. And I want us to look at this. And I want us to know that this Bible is a perfect book. It is so perfect, it's overwhelming. Now, I got so excited about this. I've studied all week and have a wonderful, wonderful booklet here in my hand. 10 pages. 10 pages. Oh, my wife said I really got off on this one. Well, it was just exciting. And I stopped. It needs to be a book. It needs to be a book. This is going to be a booklet. It'll be put in a booklet, okay? And you can have a copy today free. All you've got to do is call 1-800-338-7884 or 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I really want you to have a copy. I really want you to have a copy. It's free. I'll send it to you. And if you want that list of all the different times the word seven is in the Bible, I've got that copied off, and I'll just go ahead and put that in with this so you'll have it. I want you to learn that your Bible is an infallible book. That's really what I want you to learn. And I want you to learn that it's laid out so perfectly, and God planned it and gave such an absolute covering to it, so that every author, 40 different authors, okay? 40 different authors over 2,000, roughly 2,000 years, on three continents, in two languages, all the authors wrote, and not a one of them disagree with the other. It is a perfectly united book. There's nothing in it. You'll have to look if you try to find something that you might concoct into an error. I've had a few people to concoct something into an error, and I was always able to prove that they were absolutely wrong, because the Bible is infallible. Are you excited? Do you love a Bible like this? Are you proud of a Bible like this? Are you living by this Bible? I'm here to tell you, the last great episode of 7 years will be the great marriage supper celebration. And then the 7,000 year is soon to begin. And that will be a complete rendering and an exact copy of the seven that's been in this Bible from the day God created this earth. the day God created this earth. And see, the seven, the number seven, is never used in application to the world. It's never used in application to Satan. It's never used in application to worldly living. It's never used in application to nothing but God and the things of God. Never. And that overwhelmed me. When I suddenly realized that all of my digging I was doing, all of my study I was doing, I found no place where seven had anything to do with anything but God, His judgment, His blessings, His favor. The Bible in Proverbs even tells us seven things that God hates. And then Isaiah tells us the sevenfold spirit that will come upon Jesus Christ. The book of Revelation chapter 4, you see the sevenfold spirit standing before the throne of God. The beautiful scene in Revelation 4. And I can go on and on and on. And I don't want to do that. I want to get you involved. So let's bring up here the internet so we can get you involved. And I want you to be in the middle of this. And I want to hear your question. You can send it by email, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Or you can call two numbers, 704-391-0588. That's our local number. That's the church number, 7 days a week. That's our number. You can call anywhere here in North Carolina, 704-391-0588. Okay? And then the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Not a one of you will be disappointed if you get your copy of this booklet. You will not be disappointed if you love the Bible. You will not be disappointed unless you're just determined not to believe the Bible, okay? This Bible is pure and perfect, and this will help you know what a perfect Bible you have got. What a perfect Bible you have got. Now grab your phones and call quickly. I expect all the lines will be ringing, and that's okay with me. I want you to call. Our ladies will answer. And listen, if you call and don't get an answer, just hang up and call again. If you get the voicemail, okay, you can leave your information on the voicemail, or you can call again. And the ladies must be tied up because the phones are ringing off, okay? And I'm glad. I want you to have this book. You see, I often deal with some very, very questionable things with many people. I deal with prophecy, and that's many times many different opinions. And this book was written actually to show you a beautiful scheme of prophecy that has no loopholes. It has no loopholes, and I mean that with all my heart. You will really learn something from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit has been my teacher all week. I take no credit for nothing. I'll take no credit for nothing. The Holy Spirit has been my teacher all week long. And I want now to share all of that with you, and I want you to be blessed. I really do. I want you to be blessed, and all the lines are tied up, and I see that. Call us quickly. We want to give you a copy of the booklet, but I want to talk with you too, okay? I want to talk with you. I want to hear from you. I want to give you some information that will help you. I want to be a blessing. I really want to be a blessing. I really want to be a blessing. So grab your phone. This booklet is free. Like I said, all the lines are ringing and the ladies are not being able to answer. They hadn't been this busy in a while. And they're not going to be able to get them all, but they'll try hard. But if you miss it, you either leave it in the voicemail or you just hang up and call back in a minute. Just wait a few minutes. You know, wait till maybe the busy team time. I hope it won't, because this is so breathtaking and there's so many people that don't know how perfect this Bible is. They all in another world, and they don't know that this book is infallible, that it cannot be questioned, that it's pure as the sunshine. I mean, it is everything I'm telling you it is. And I thank God for getting a hold of me and leading me into the study of this subject. I know it's wore me out. It's been our week of prayer and fasting. I also fell last Monday, hurt my back, and I've had to deal with that all week and sit with hot packs behind me. But I'm okay. I'm making it fine. I'm almost there, and I will be there, I promise you. Now, while you are calling, I want to make sure I remind you of camp meeting this year. It's going to be one of the greatest we've ever had, and I want to promise you something. The camp meeting is going to be special. Our ladies are getting ready to serve everybody each day. Lunch free, gratis to you because we love you. We'll have food to make available at night. They do serve some good stuff. I'm telling you, that's Tuesday through Friday. The meeting begins on Sunday night with Brother Switzer, one of the greatest evangelists. That's the 28th of June, okay? Sunday night, 28th of June, and goes through the 3rd of July, which is Friday. And there'll be guests in the here preaching then on Sunday, which is the 5th. And so you ought to plan a week, plan several days. I always in my life, I had a week of camp meeting that I left everything to go and get my soul refreshed and go and draw myself back to God, get re-sanctified. I mean, you need to be sanctified every day, friend. Every one of us do, including me. I mean, we don't have any righteousness in ourselves that's acceptable with God. His righteousness is all that's acceptable with Him, and that's ours and yours by faith in Christ and by daily seeking Him with all of our heart. Now, just keep calling to get a free copy of this wonderful book, wonderful booklet, wonderful booklet. The name is 7 is God's Numerical Perfection. 7 is God's numerical perfection. And boy, will you love it. Boy, will you love it. Now grab your phones and keep calling. I'm ready for your calls now. I want to take some calls. Let me see here if we have any numbers on the phone. Those who blaspheme the Holy Spirit. When God gives you over to a reprobate mind, are you lost forever? Similar to what God sent Saul, an evil spirit, and hardened Pharaoh's heart? Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what you're dealing with. I won't spend much time there now because we're on a subject different, but I want you to know you can commit blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And if you do, there's never, never any forgiveness. You say, how can I do that? By hearing God call you over and over again and you not answering. And he calls you and he calls you and he calls you and you say no and no. And one day he says no. And so it's over for you. It's over for you, okay? Now, you need to remember that. You on the line. May I help you, please? You on the line. Let me just make sure here. You on the line. May I help you, please?
Timbers. Yes. I hope your back feels better.
Yeah, me too. I'm
doing your therapy for it.
Well, you know, when you're out on the sidewalk and you get too in a hurry and you're rushing around trying to get it all done and you slip and down I went, something in both hands, I couldn't catch myself, and I just fell on my brick sidewalk, and it didn't hurt me, I didn't think, until Wednesday. And then my back began to show me that I twisted it wrong, but I'll be all right in another day or two.
Wonderful. I want to ask you, the Bible says that the Antichrist will change or try to change times and seasons. Is it possible that one of the changes he will make or try to make is to get rid of the Sabbath day or the seventh day for whatever a person blesses the day?
I don't think there's any doubt of that.
And just a minute. And create a six-day week, and it'll be work, 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 and no rest.
Well, you know, I don't know that he will end it with a six-day week. That seems a little something I've never thought about. But he's going to try to change everything that relates to the Bible. And that relates to the Bible so strongly, I had never considered it before. But seven-day week relates so strongly to the Bible that every culture in the world honors 7 days as a week. That would probably be something he would be definite wanting to change. And he would certainly eliminate any special day that has a biblical significance, like the time of the resurrection. You see the 7 feasts of Israel. 3 of those feasts have not yet been fulfilled. The trumpets, the Feast of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, all of that is yet to be fulfilled in the Christian church. See, the 7 Feast of Jehovah was not just feast that Israel praised and worshiped God for and in. It was remembrance. It was a prophetic setting of the future church, the Bible-believing New Testament church. And so the 4 first feasts were celebrated in the coming of Christ all the way up to Pentecost. That fulfilled 4. And then the 5th, 6th, and 7th are yet to come. And he'll probably try to change all of that, yes.
Yes. Thank you very much. I'm going to the dentist this morning, so I'll say see you later.
You're going to the dentist?
Yes.
If there's anything I don't like, it's dentists. I have four teeth left, and I've got, false dentals. And I remember when I go to Roxbury, my hometown, I can remember the door that led up a set of stairs to the dentist's office because I hated it with all of my heart. And I wound up, of course, with bad teeth because I was so careless. I hated a dentist too much to go. That was a bad thing for me, but I'm paying for it now, and I love you, George.
Yes, sir.
God bless you now. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Reverend Samuel. I want to ask you something. See if you think I'm too far off of base of this. In John chapter 2, the first thing that Jesus did was, the first miracle was at the marriage supper.
Yes.
It says, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana. That third day, if you would put all the 4 days of the Old Testament, that would be the seventh day. The first thing that we're going to do, like you say, on the seventh day is the marriage supper of the Lamb. So I'm wondering if this is a type of it here showing us.
I've never thought about it, and I would have to spend a little time with that. So I really can't answer your question. Everything in the Bible certainly has biblical and spiritual and eternal meaning. But I hadn't thought about that one, so will you let me spend a little time with it?
Yeah, he's talking about changing the old wine skins into the new. You've got to put the wine in the new wine skins.
Well, there's no question that the turning of the water to wine was a biblical message. Remember, they filled those vessels to the top, and they were not turned into wine until they were filled to the top. And that's true in people's lives. Until you get full of Christ, you're not going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because he doesn't come to fill you. He comes to fill the Christ in you. And that's why the greatest need of this hour is old-fashioned sanctification. You wonder why everybody is so selfish and so independent. It's because they've never been sanctified. The church is full of people who maybe have been saved, but they've never been sanctified, and so they're almost impossible to get along with. And churches are seething with independence and selfishness and complaining and griping and growling until most churches are falling apart.
I don't think if that third day didn't have a significance, he wouldn't put that in there on the third day. So like I said, if you put the 4 days of the Old Testament, that would be the seventh day. I got one more for you. He told Israel in the Old Testament, after 2 days, I will revive you, and the third day you'll live in my sight. That would be 7 days.
You got to remember, those 2 days are the 2,000 years we've already had, and the third day is the day of the rapture.
That would be seven. That would be the number seven, though.
I agree with that, okay? Just like I just said, I think there's significance there. Everything in the Bible has significance. And the more you study it, the more you see the absolute perfect harmony. Do you like this idea of seven as I've projected it today?
Oh, yes. Seven is the number of God. It's the number of perfection.
A number of complete. Yeah. I like the word complete better than perfection, because I'm complete, but I'm not perfected. Sanctification is a completing of the spiritual life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the result then of that completed life. I like the word complete better, but it's okay to use the word perfect, okay?
Yeah.
I love you.
I ordered your booklet. I didn't know what you was reading, the number seven, all those times. About those words, that was very interesting.
Well, it's full of it. I mean, I only gave a few. I've got four times as many in this article as I have even mentioned. I mean, you've just got one after the other. The seven great Jehovah Jirehs, Jehovah Nissi. Remember those seven Jehovahs? You've got the seven feasts of Israel. I mentioned that a while ago. That's being fulfilled in the New Testament. And then the book of Revelation, there's over 50 times that he mentions seven. The whole book of Revelation is completely constituted out of sevens, a completion. And he didn't give the seven just to be cheap. He gave the sevens as a perfect order on which to build his Bible, so that there would never be any question that it was a perfect book.
Yes, and some people think the generation is 70 years. Some people think it's 40. Some people think it's 70 years.
Well, I think 70 is probably it. He gives some people more. I loved my mom and daddy, and that's why he gave me more, maybe. I'm almost 80. But I think 70, the Bible says the 70 is what God's ordained for us. And right now in America, the average life is 77. Which I've already passed 2 years, and every funeral I've been to for a long time now, almost every, they were older than I was. I'm sorry, they were younger than I was, but that's okay. I'm going to finish my task, and then I'm going home to heaven. It'll be in a flash, brother. I won't have time to say goodbye.
Thank you, Brother Sabre. God bless you.
God bless you. Give us a call now. We're here. A lot of calls have come in, and we want you to call. Let's go to the internet. Listen now. Grab your phone. And call. I want you to have a copy of this booklet. 7 is God's numerical perfection. And I want you to understand, you got people preaching the mid-trib rapture. That would leave only 3.5 years for the great celebration of the marriage supper. That's impossible. You got people preaching the pre-wrath. That would only leave 1 year and 9 months for the great, great celebration of the bride. That's impossible. You've got to have the rapture at the same time as the big, right after it. There'll be a judgment right after the rapture. And then if you go to Revelation chapter 5, I can show it to you as plain as the nose on your face. And it's in chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the 7 seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and notice the promise, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now that's before the tribulation begins. In the end of that chapter 6, verse 1, the tribulation 7 years begins. But here in 5 and 9 and 10, you have a picture of the bride of Christ now, already kings and queens, getting ready to celebrate for 7 years, and then they come back with Christ when the Battle of Armageddon is fought. See, they can't be in heaven no longer than the Battle of Armageddon. Because when you look up in the sky at that Battle of Armageddon, there is this multitude of the saints dressed in white, riding white horses with the Lord, coming back to reign on this earth 1,000 years. You can't have it no other way. It's plain in the Bible. So if anybody's been trying to teach you mid-trib or pre-wrath, they're off the beam. They've missed it. And all you got to do is get this booklet and you'll have it for them. And you can show it to them. And I suspect this book will help a lot of people who have been into these false ideas. And they will learn quickly and beautifully that the great celebration of the marriage supper has to be 7 years. It's the grand finale. It's the greatest thing that happens in the book of Revelation. It's got to be 7 years. Oh, I tell you. Whoo! Hallelujah. I hope you don't mind me being a little happy. I just get that way sometimes. Let's go to the, hey, have we got any more calls? Not yet. So let's take one here. Here's somebody wanting to know about sanctification. If someone is already born again, how do they become sanctified? By consecrating themselves to the Lord Jesus, by living in the Bible as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow, notice that word grow, G-R-O-W, grow thereby, and then go to the book of St. John. I mean, all you got to do is go to the book of John chapter 17, and this whole book, this whole chapter, this whole chapter of John 17 is written to the church. He says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine. And now I am no more in the world, but not of the world. He keeps on talking, and then I'm trying to find the verse. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. I've given them thy word. I've given them thy word. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Now verse 17, the key. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now he wrote that to saints. He's praying for them. Now he tells them, you need to be sanctified. Get that old nature, that nature of Adam. Get it under the blood. See, he saves you and forgives you of your sins. He sanctifies you and breaks the power of sin, which comes out of the old Adamic nature. Oh, you need to be sanctified. And that's a beautiful promise. And I love to deal with it. Let me see here. Any more calls coming in? I want to hear from you. Grab your phone quickly. Grab your phone quickly. All right. Those, I'm looking here. We're praying for you. All right. Now, that's all. Call quickly. We're waiting on you. We'll bless you. We'll do our best to help you. Whatever you called about, we will do it. Now, here it is. One, this one wound up in the spam, by the way. And so let me just put this back in the regular place. You know, I get a lot of this. I get a lot of calls going to my spam, and then I don't have them to read them to you, and that bothers me, but then I have to move them. Okay, you understand that. Let's take this one. Please talk about what one must do in order to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Simple. Very simple. You get full of Jesus. You get yourself set apart. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You pray and consecrate yourself to the Lord. Spend an hour a day in your Bible, on your face, believing in the blood and trusting in Christ as he sets you apart for him. And when you get good and sanctified, you cannot fail to receive the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit is given to sanctified people. Go back and study Methodism. Methodism taught the great sanctification of this Bible. And many of them was receiving the baptism and speaking in tongues and didn't even understand it. Because as they would get good and set apart to God, and they would be praying and seeking God, and they'd pray through, and suddenly the Holy Spirit would come upon them, and they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I love that. I really do. That's one of the great things in my life. When God gives you over to a reprobate mind, well, I've already cleared that one. Here's one. If you wish to help, happy weekend to you all. If you wish to read my new art, well, I'm not ready to do that. I thought he was asking me a question. I don't have time to read his article. But if you have a question now, grab your phone. 77-7-fold-700. The number 7 in all of its many derivatives, over 700 times in your Bible. And the Bible is full of things that you see 7 in. 7 I ams in the book of John. 7 I ams in the book of John. I mean, you are talking about a Bible that is so wonderfully, wonderfully organized and so perfectly put together. The Holy Spirit guided every author, and they were moved by the Holy Ghost as they wrote. And Jesus was so impressed with this Bible that he'd given the world that he said, not one jot or one tittle shall pass away till all this word shall be fulfilled. What a story. What a picture. What a wonderful truth. Now grab your phone. I won't make sure. I won't waste a minute. We're talking about 7 in the Bible, especially the 7-year tribulation period and the seven years of the great marriage celebration. And of course, the 7th 1,000. Do you have a question about that? That as we finish the 6,000 years, we already, of course, as you know, into 2015. The Jewish calendar is a little less than the 2,000-year period. So somewhere between their calendar and our calendar is a perfect 2,000. Now, will the new day arrive exactly on that day? That's up to God. I just know that the new 1,000-year millennial reign, the last 1,000 years of the 7 that God allotted to human history, will soon begin, and we're going to be with him on this earth as his kings and queens and leaders, and we're going to reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now, I don't think there's any doubt that 1,000 years is upon us. Our camp meeting theme is going to be preparing the church to reign with Christ for 1,000 years, preparing the church. And so there'll be considerable teaching and preaching on the 1,000-year millennial reign. Now, that's not going to be, you know, we're not off on anything that's off of the Bible. We're going to talk about the rapture. We're going to talk about all the great truths that we all believe if we're fundamental Christians. But we're going to show that all of this ends in a 1,000-year millennial reign. What a day. What a day. Now, I've got a time for your question, so grab your phone. I want everybody out there to have a copy of this booklet. Everybody, if you haven't called to get a copy, listen to the name. 7-7 is God's numerical perfection. It's 10 pages, as you see it here. That'll be about maybe 14 in the booklet. And you will have something to read and study. And you can go to your Bible and you can dig in. And it will set a new fire to your life to find out how perfect this Bible has been given to you. That from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. Do you understand how much of the church world doesn't believe the book of Genesis is literal? Do I have a question out there about the literalness of the book of Genesis? If I do, grab your phone or grab your mouse and send me that question real quickly, okay? So we have time for it. Most of the church world, maybe I would say 70% of the church world, does not believe in the literal book of Revelation. You got the preterists, which is so far off the beam, it's almost laughable. And then you've got those who just believe it's symbolic, and that's so far off the beam, it's almost impossible to believe. And then you've got us, people who just believe it's prophetic, it's future. We live in chapters 2 and 3, which is the period of the church, but at any moment, that rapture is going to sound, and we're going to be in chapter 4. We're going to be up there in the mid-heavens where God's going to set his throne to direct the proceedings of this 7 years. And we're going to be up there celebrating with Christ. And at the end of the 7 years, just before we come back to reign on the earth, will be the supper, the great wedding supper. That's the last thing of the 7 years. And we'll be doing that while the world down here is going through hell. You understand? Two things going on simultaneously. The church celebrating the world suffering. The church celebrating the world suffering. And my friend, I beg of you to get yourself so right with God that there's no longer any possibility of you missing that rapture. Okay? And don't think you can sin every day and repent every night and go in the rapture. He's coming after a church without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. Did you hear me? He's coming after church without blot, a spot, a wrinkle, a blemish, or any such thing. I was reading just today about those dark periods of the great trumpet sounds. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which is the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And on, you can read through this Bible and see this picture. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. I mean, on and on. You can see that these seven seals, these seven trumpets, these seven vials is a picture of the end, a picture of the last 7 years while we celebrate the marriage supper in heaven. Does anybody have a question about that? That while we are celebrating the 7 years of the great wedding supper in heaven, the 7-year tribulation period is occurring on the earth. So that they end somewhat simultaneously. And so you've got the end of the great suffering in chapters 18, and early part of 19, and then you got a picture of that marriage supper, and that is occurring, and that's finalizing. And then you've got the opening of the heavens for the great Son of God to come back to this earth on that white horse, and we're riding with him. And so here you have a picture in perfect order. See, the book of Revelation is a perfect order of all of the great prophecies in the Bible. You take all the prophecies in the Bible and you study them all here together. It will be wonderful. It will be wonderful. I tell you, it will be wonderful. So anything I can do to help you understand this will be my joy. Because I want you to know that we're right down at the end of this. Now, I want you to have this booklet. I'd like for every phone to ring from now until the time's up. We'll stay here as long as the phone rings and send you a copy of this book to open your understanding, to give you some insight into the great truths of the Scripture. Now, go with me. Go with me. Maybe you didn't hear this at the early beginning. Go with me to Jericho, where Joshua and the great people of Israel had just marched across the river. And now they're into the promised land. And Jericho is their first great challenge. It's a stronghold. It's a well-fortified city, and it's full of vicious people who are ready to fight to the death. And so God will give this city to Jericho. And so God gives Joshua a plan to take the city. He says, you take the people, and you go up there, and you march around that city 1 day, 2 day, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, one time. Don't say a sound. Don't make a sound. Don't sound a trumpet. Go back to your camp. And in the seventh day, he said, now when you get to the seventh day, you go and you march seven times. Seven times. Now, can you imagine what was going on in that city? They knew the city had been given over. I presume Rahab had maybe told them, and she was in her apartment with her family. They had their doors locked and closed, and a scarlet cord hanging out the window. And on that seventh time around, those seven priests took their seven ram's horns, all of this seven now, and they blew them, and the walls fell flat. Now, study your Bible. Just get your dictionary and go through your Bible with the number seven or sevenfold or just anything about the sevens. And notice the perfection of it all. Remember that. Remember when Elijah sent Naaman to go wash in the Jordan River seven times, made old Naaman so mad, wash in that muddy Jordan? No, and one of his own servants said to him, if they would have told you something great, you'd have done it. So why don't you do this little thing? And he went and washed in muddy Jordan and came up the seventh time perfectly clean. Now, it's all through the Bible. Many times when the word seven isn't even used, you see the composition of seven. And this is over and over, and that's because God gave us this book. Now it's time to pray. Every week at 15 till, I'm taking time for America. For America. Is anybody trembling for America? Are you sick and tired of the evil that's coming upon our nation like a storm? I've just learned that the airport here in Charlotte, called the Douglas Airport, International Airport, listen to me, the International Airport in Charlotte, the International Airport in Charlotte, by our city mayor and city office, has declared the bathrooms there to be open to transvestites. That a transvestite man who thinks he's a woman can go in any ladies' bathroom at the airport and use it. Or vice versa with women who are transvestite women who think they're men. So I would suggest if you're going to go to the airport, you go to the bathroom before you go, okay? And if you have to travel into town, you stop at a McDonald's or Hardee's or a service station and you use the bathroom because you don't want to be in there when some old vicious, you know, transvestite walks in and they challenge you. I know what I would do, but I don't want to suggest you do it because I don't want you to get put in jail and blame me for it. But I'm here to tell you, we live in a day when it's sick, it's sick, it's sick. And I'm praying. I'm praying, God, turn this thing around. Put to death those who are evil and determined to destroy the Church of America. Stop them, Father. That's what I'm praying. And that's how we should pray. That's what the Bible teaches us, that God would judge the wicked so that the righteous might possess the land and that they might live a godly life. Father, I come to you for America, and I'm burdened. I'm sick of those who occupy the White House and occupy many of the stations throughout Washington and in our cities. I'm sick of the mayor's office in Charlotte. I'm sick of what they're doing to our city. And I'm praying, Father, for your mighty hand upon our nation. Make yourself known, Jehovah God. Reveal your righteousness and your holiness and bring judgment of sin. Father, men will not stop their wickedness until they see sin being judged and understand the end results of wickedness is a terrible, terrible judgment. And I pray, Father, for your miracle. I pray for your hand. Whatever it takes in Charlotte to turn the city around. I'm sure the school is planning to open the restrooms in our public schools to transvestites. I know they're planning that. What day they do it, I don't know. But I pray, God, for a miracle. I pray for a miracle. Mighty by the Holy Ghost. Everybody praying. Hear the prayers, God. Hear our prayers. We love our nation. We love you, God. Our churches are being attacked. We don't know how soon they will say to us ministers, we've got to perform a same-sex marriage. And we'll say no. We'll say no, and we won't even question it. Father, I don't know what may happen next, but I know I'm trusting you. In Jesus' name. Wow. In Jesus' name. Hey, I got room for the more calls, so grab your phone. I'll do my best to answer, and we'll end this program with a shout. You on the air. May I help you?
Brother Joe, I didn't know that Charlotte Douglas Airport had done that, but it seems like it's trying to take over.
Well, that's happened. It was just in the paper here in Charlotte. The mayor's office and the city manager decreed that, and I'm trying to get some help out of Raleigh to put an end to it. I don't know whether I can or not, but we are living in a dark hour.
Yes, we are. The churches are not speaking up.
That's exactly. Preachers are like wimps. They're dumb dogs, the Bible says, that won't bark.
That's right. Thank God for you that you're letting everybody know. The church in itself, the whole of the church, we just ain't speaking up again.
I'm listening to you. Go ahead quickly.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brother Joe.
Thank you, my brother. God bless your heart. May the Lord bless that, dear brother. I don't know what happened to the lines there. Now, we got time for three or four calls. I want to hear from you. What do you think about the Douglas Airport? And you talk about this Bible being pure and perfect. This world is the exact opposite. Are you understanding? And to turn our airport into a transvestite celebration is so repulsive and so dark. It's damnable. And people who would do that are hellbound. There's no doubt about that. And most of them claim to be Christians, but they don't know anything about Christianity that's heavenbound Christianity. I mean, it's just religion. And you say you don't have a right to judge them. Oh, yeah, I'm not judging them. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. The pure in heart, they shall see God. The pure in heart, they shall see God. And the Bible tells us that we are to sigh and cry over these kind of abominations. Cry and sigh. Do you hear me sighing and crying over these abominations? Oh, yes, that's what I've been doing. I'm standing up. I'm standing up to the, if I'm the last man down, that's okay with me. I'll be standing because we've got to understand this world is in a mess. Call us quickly. Hey, you got to have this booklet. I know that if I could get everybody out there understanding that this Bible is pure and perfect and that you're going to be judged exactly by what's in this book. And if you think you can live contrary, people call me a legalist because I believe you got to live by the Bible. They're the ones that are in bad shape to call me a legalist. The Bible is a legal document. It's a testament. What does the word testament mean? It's a covenant. What does the word covenant mean? Do you not know the covenant and testament is a legal standing between two parties? God and everybody that will stand with him, and I live by it. The Bible says, if you say you love me and keep not my commandments, you are a liar, and the truth is not in you. If you don't live by the truths of the Bible calls you a liar, not Brother Chambers. And you got to live by the book. You got to stand up for the book. And that's what I'm doing, standing up for the book and telling you, hey, you can have a copy of a little booklet that will bless your life. The numbers to call, 1-800-338-7884. I needed to give this earlier. 1-800-338-7884. You got that? Then the toll-free number, I'm sorry, the local number, 704-391-391-0588. Easy to remember, 391-0588. 391-0588. Grab the phones. Let's keep it busy a few minutes as we come down to the conclusion. And don't ever miss a broadcast of Open Bible Dialogue. They're just going to get better. I've had some of the best lately that I can ever remember. I've enjoyed them. And I hope I'm blessing you. I hope you're being stirred. Our sermons are now on the internet. You can watch them or hear them, whichever. All you got to do is go to paulcreek.org. Paulcreek.org, look over on your right, and you'll see a preacher in a pulpit, and click on that icon. It'll take you to a list of sermons, and choose to listen or choose to watch. And we want you to be blessed. We really do. And I promise you that you're going to hear the word of the Lord. You're going to hear the truth of God's holy book, because God's word is dependable. Now grab your phone. I got about 7 minutes. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. Now keep that number at hand, 704-391-0588. Write it down and put it somewhere with your things so that every Saturday you'll remember it. The toll-free number 7 days a week now, 1-800-338-7884. And my emails are open, jrc@paulcreek.org. Other churches approve gay rights. Why do you disagree? Or who do you disagree? Are you being judgmental? Yes, I'm being judgmental. No doubt about it. The Bible says always be involved in solid good judgment. Judge righteous judgment. Other words in the Bible. Judge righteous judgment. If you had a child molester next door to your house, would you let your little four-year-old girl or boy go over to his or her house? Of course you wouldn't. Oh, you judgmental thing, you. Yeah, I'm just turning it in. I'm turning around on you. You understand? There are many judgments we all make every day of our life. Why not judge for eternity? We judge the food we eat. We judge where we're going to spend our money. We judge where we're going to work. We judge where we're going on vacation. We judge what kind of clothes we're going to wear. What kind of car we're going to buy. We judge who we're going to make our close friends in the neighborhood. Where we're going to live. Why not judge spiritual things as intimately and devotedly as you judge earthly things? Heaven is more important than anything I can imagine. And which one of these? Yes, you're on the air. May I help you, please?
I want to ask a quick question. My son wants to know the difference between apostle and a disciple.
An apostle is someone put in a position of leadership. A disciple is any Christian that's devoted to Christ. Any Christian that is devoted to Christ is a learner. That's what disciple means. It means a learner. I'm still a disciple.
Yeah.
I'm still learning.
That's good. I am too. Well, I wanted to answer.
An apostle is someone put in authority ordained of God. I have a certain amount of that, but I'm very careful about it. I'd rather be a disciple because you don't answer for as much when you're a disciple.
You don't. Thank you much.
God bless your heart. Give us a call quickly. We're right here to help you. We'll do our level best. I'm promising you. We'll do our level best. So grab your phone and come. We care about you. We care about you. Hey, emails. You can have a copy. You got to get this booklet. Hey, I've never been so determined that everybody gets a copy of this because it is so good. 7 is God's numerical perfection. See, this is just something to bless. This is something to encourage. This is something to move you into a deeper relationship. The whole purpose of this is just to help you grow in the Lord. I really want you to grow. I'm going to do more programs like that in the coming weeks to help you grow, to help you mature, to help you become closer and closer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, church, we are down near the end of the way. Do you understand that? We are down near the end of the way. I'm trying to make sure I get my time right. I don't want to be late, but I don't want to be early. I want you to enjoy these programs. Now, I've got time for a couple more calls. I do want you to study. I want you to get in your Bible, and I want you to remember that 7 starts in Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, and ends in Revelation, the end of the book. And it goes 700 different times between those two ends, those two covers. And the Bible is just full of it. So it's the number of perfection. Now, I want to say this again. Never in the Bible is 7 used about godless things, or Satan, or the Antichrist, or the worldly things, or the godless life. Never. The word 7 never applied to anything of this world unless it's in judgment, like the 7 vials or the 7 trumpets or the 7 seals. That's God's business, what God is doing to judge and clean this world up. So everything of 7 is biblical and spiritual. And boy, that makes the Bible so beautiful. It shows you how perfect it is. It shows you these people didn't write the Bible in their own mind, with their own opinions, and their own thinking. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. And remember, 2,000 years elapsed from the first writing to the end writing. 2,000 years, roughly. 40 different authors. 40 different authors. 2 different major languages, and some, variations of other languages at times in the Bible. And yet, it is perfectly united as a whole. And you can have a copy to show you how true that is. And that's only a little bit of this subject. I promise you, there'll be more to come. There'll be more to come. Because I love this Bible, and I love the things of this Bible. Now, you grab your phone, and you'll get a copy free. Not going to charge you a penny. 704-391-0588. And then the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. If you're a new caller, we don't expect you to give us money. But I want to say to all my partners out there, the month of May was very slow with my partners. I don't know what happened. I guess they paid all their money to taxes in April. I don't know. But we need a month of June that will be fantastic. We need a month of June that it just comes out of the woodworks, that everybody says, I'm going to be a part of this month, and I want you to be a part of this month. Remember, our payment on this building is $3,800 every month. I've got two more years of that, and it will be paid for. A $3 million plus campus in about 15 years, and it will all be paid for. We only owe a little over $100,000. And there's somebody out there that has the $100,000 to pay that off if you just quit being stingy with God. I guarantee you that. Oh, there's too many people being stingy and don't know. You can't take it with you. You've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul hook behind it. And you can't address your bank account once you're in a casket. You do understand that. So don't give up your life. Serve the Lord. And here's all kinds of questions in this last minute. Thank you. I love your program every Saturday. God bless you in Christ alone. Steve. Who is? Oh, Steve. No, this is a different Steve. I was thinking it was another. God bless you, Steve. I love you. I love every one of you. You are my friends. You are important to me. I want you to understand that. You are important. Now, I've got a minute. Camp meeting. Remember, camp meeting is June the 28th, 29th, 30th, and then July 1, 2, and 3. Ends on Friday. Actually, we'll go through Sunday with special guests. Starts on Sunday the 28th. You don't want to miss Mike Switzer that first night. And then on Tuesday morning, Brother Joey Yates will begin at 9:30 and teach a sermon about the thousand-year millennial reign and Christ's entrance into the beautiful gate, the golden gate, and the inauguration, the beginning of the thousand-year millennial reign. What a day, what a day, what a day that's going to be. I want to see you in church tomorrow. I'd love to have you right here. I promise you, you'd love this church. A lot of love. Love will meet you at the door. Hey, the numbers to call, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. You got that? And then the toll-free, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884, and then JRC@paulcreek.org, JRC@paulcreek.org. And I love you out there. I really do. I love you out there. And Jesus is wonderful. All his grace and mercies.